We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJHybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Jennifer Rash. She helps businesses identify their goals and how to reach them through strategic visual communication. She heads up Rash Design, a design and communication studio based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Prior to Rash Design, she worked as a design director in New York City, creating solutions for global clients in the financial and technology industries. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lori. Thank you.
All right. So design, I love that topic. Why should companies care about design?
Well, companies should care about design because it is a wonderful tool for connecting with their clients or their customers. And it allows them to not just clarify what they are, what service they're providing or product, but also it allows them to connect on an emotional level and to really kind of create a relationship there. And I think sometimes design can get a little bit difficult when you're speaking in terms of more general things like what is good design or bad design. You have issues around current trends or personal taste. But at the end of the day, if you're coming to it with the end user in mind, you really can create something that is powerful. And as long as you're kind of aware of the pitfalls of this is not designed for the designer or designed for, honestly, for even the client, it's really designed for that end user that that comes to your site or uses your product or service. So that when you kind of get those things in alignment and you look at it more kind of like a mirror to the end client versus a projection at them, I think you can really make something that's powerful and useful for a company.
Yeah, I like that. I like the mirror component because really you want to reflect and resonate with them, right?
Exactly.
So very nice instead of projecting. So obviously a lot of companies have a logo, but some logos are just terrible, just thrown together, and others are extremely simple, but also very impactful, I would say, in my opinion. How important, from your perspective, is a logo for a business?
A logo is important. I think brand is very important. It's, you know, it's the personality of your company. But I think sometimes there's almost too much emphasis put on the logo. I think it's a healthier approach to look at your logo and your brand as kind of like a living thing. So it's evolving with you and with your company. I think sometimes a newer company might kind of overemphasize the importance of their logo. And sometimes their time and their resources are better put towards other things going on. So it's kind of counterintuitive, but I sometimes feel like if you're just starting out, you get something together that is appropriate and professional and move on with the knowledge that that's not the end game. Like that's not set in stone. You let that live and breathe and reflect your brand as you evolve. And yes, you put more time and consideration towards it later, but sometimes just getting going and not looking at it as like, you know, the logo forever kind of point of view, I think is a better way to look at your logo and your brand.
Can we talk about logo and brand a little bit and just really define what the difference is between those? Because I see a lot of individuals assume their branding is their logo and vice versa.
Sure. A logo is a part of it. It's kind of the easiest to understand part. It's contained. It's, you know, people I think can wrap their heads around the logo. But the brand really is sort of the whole everything, everything from kind of the basics, the visual ones that are really easy to take in, like the colors, the typefaces, and those basic building blocks. But it's also it's the voice, and it's anything that can be experienced by your client or customer really is your brand. In some larger companies, how they handle their phone systems is part of their brand. Mm-hmm. How they choose to answer the phone or how they choose to interact in a store, whether a store chooses to have greeters or chooses to have you go up and talk to somebody who can help you. Those are kind of the other components of a brand that I don't think are quite as obvious sometimes. But mm-hmm. if you look at it as a whole, it should all work together. So in some ways, the logo, while it is the flagship and it is a very important piece, is really just kind of a small part of that whole picture.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I like how you broke that out. And you touched on, you know, the voice, the messaging, the experience, I think, is something that's really important, too. And if someone's putting a lot of time and energy on just the logo, they're not putting the time and energy on the other components that are probably more impactful than just the logo itself.
Yeah, and possibly more challenging and less fun. Like, the logo is fun. Everybody loves to everybody loves to have opinions about the logo and all of that. But sometimes that can almost be a little bit of a productive distraction,
yep.
I think.
So what's scarier, public speaking or sharks?
Well, right now, I'd have to go with public speaking. I think that's a common fear for people, and I think it also plays in with what we're talking about here with networking. Mm-hmm. I think it's sort of for me personally, I love to network and meet new people, but I have to admit that once I'm kind of up and in front of a group with a microphone or presenting, for some reason, there's sort of like a reptile brain thing that happens where you just kind of panic. And oddly enough, this kind of makes me think of sharks in the way of I had an experience a few years ago. I went snorkeling in the Florida Keys with a group, and somebody pointed out, they said, "Hey, there's a shark over here." And I said, "Cool, I want to see it, but I'm terrified." And it was at the bottom, and it was a nurse shark. And I don't know too much about sharks, but what I do know is nurse sharks are completely and utterly harmless. Uh-huh. You have to really work hard to get a nurse shark to bite you.
Sure.
But there's something very basic and terrifying about it. And as I swam over and went down to look, I couldn't help it. I was absolutely terrified to look at this harmless creature, this shark. And to me, that's like public speaking. You go up and you're not going to die. Like, you're not going to lose a limb. You're just talking to people and it's okay. And I say this, but I'm not convinced of it yet. One thing I have tried recently is I did join Toastmasters, which is sort
nice.
Of like
yep.
a safe space yep. to test that stuff out and to get up there in front of a non-judgmental group and mm-hmm. and try it for yourself. I would recommend that. But hopefully the next time you talk to me, I'll pick sharks. for now, it's public speaking.
Well, Toastmasters is good. I think there's a lot of value in being involved in that group to overcome some of those. And it is a safe space to participate in. So kudos to you for kind of trying to work on that a little
Thanks.
Bit.
Yes.
A few years back, I was in their same spot.
Yeah.
Still some anxieties, but it gets better every time you do it, right? You get more comfortable.
Right.
Regardless if you have the anxiety or not. But I did a comedy sports improv class.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
It was super fun, and it definitely helped overcome some of that stage presence.
Mm-hmm.
So just a quick little recommendation.
Yeah, I have to look into that.
And the one in Milwaukee here did a great job, so giving mm-hmm. them some free exposure. Shout out.
Sure.
Okay, so you kind of touched on it briefly. The purpose of the show here is to talk about networking. And my goal is to help alleviate that fear that some individuals have when they hear that word, that super scary word, excuse me, networking. So can you share with our listeners one of your favorite networking experiences that you've had?
I try to network as much as I can. I'm kind of I'm an in-person networker.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of my more favorite experiences was actually at a time when I wasn't like networking was not really on the brain. I was actually out at a playground with my son, and he started playing with another child, and I struck up the conversation with the child's father, and mostly was just talking about, you know, kids and stuff like that. But we ended up talking about more professional stuff, and then we exchanged cards, and then it sort of turned into a whole other thing, and actually we ended up working together. He had to move to a different state, but remembered our conversation, and we actually ended up doing a series of projects together. And I just reflected on that thinking, you know, it's just kind of a neat thing to have that in mind. Not that you're always out trying to, meet people for work purposes, yeah. But that you can have these sort of multifaceted interactions with people where they think of you, you know, they think of you to get to know you as a person, but also about what you do as a profession. And so it's always good to kind of be thinking in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I agree with that. And I think it's, you probably didn't have any fear around that.
Right.
It
exactly.
was just casual just conversation, casual.
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah. is really what all networking is when you think about it and break it down. But I love that you had no intention of building this relationship. It just kind of organically happened. And then you ended up, I'm sure down the road, obtained some business out of it.
Right.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Great. So as you've evolved in your professional career, I'm sure you had a number of individuals that you've met. So what do you do to stay in front of or nurture this established network or community that you've developed?
A couple things. One is I am very keen on fostering habits. So if I make it a habit that every week I try to get out to something, that just helps me keep on track. And as I've met more people, another thing I've kind of added to that habit is if I come across an interesting event, I also then think about who else do I know that would find this interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And I generally will ping them and say, hey, you know, this is happening next week. Do you want to go? Part of that, too, it actually helps with, you know, if you have networking nervousness, it's always fun to go with people that you know.
yep.
So it helps there, too. But it's just it's a way of reconnecting, having a reason to come back and reconnect with people that you've met at other networking events. And it just helps build that community. And some people I know kind of almost expect it that I'm going to email them and be like, hey, are you going to this, that, or the other?
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is really totally makes sense. So attending different events weekly, it sounds like you mentioned you're very much an in-person networker. I like the idea of identifying who else you know, because it's a nice little way to nurture individuals and let them know that you're thinking about them and looking for ways to add value to that relationship. But I also like it from that strategy of having that buddy system in place. So you have,
yeah.
you know, you're not walking into a room of people you don't know all by yourself. You just kind of have that level of comfort of, I know someone else that's here.
Yeah.
And it just kind of elevates that confidence level when you're walking in.
True. Although I would say you have to be careful because that can backfire on you because you don't want to stick too much with the people that you know.
Uh-huh.
You almost have to make an agreement like, hey, it's great to see you. And now let's go talk to some new people.
Yeah.
Because that can become a crutch, which, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. But there's also a balance of nurturing that established relationship too,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes, totally. Yeah, it's a balance. I mean, it's just something to be aware of in the back of your head. Like, yeah, it's a balance.
So what kind of events are you attending then?
I go to a lot of the Startup Milwaukee events.
Okay.
And I've actually been down to Chicago quite a bit. Mm. There's a really interesting health tech startup down there
okay. That
runs really. I just have an interest in what's going on in the healthcare fields right now with
sure.
new technology and things. And so they have really interesting presentations from startups and from established companies that kind of talk about, you know, how they got to where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are two kind of fun, interesting, you know, there's always something new going on.
Sure.
And that's one of my kind of more favorite things to do.
Cool. And obviously, you know, going to another community expands the reach even further then too, which mm-hmm. is smart. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
I would say that, you know, the habit, the networking habit is a good one, but probably to make sure that you are being intentional with which events you choose to go to. There's so many out there. And yes, and there are the examples of the totally organic type things like the, the guy that I met. But I think you do, when you're actually planning your, you know, how am I going to start networking, it's best to go to events that are kind of in an area that you want to focus on. And for me, there ends up being kind of like two types of events, and you want to have a balance. There are designer events, and that's great to kind of, you know, you connect with your peers and you find out new things that are going on. But you can, you know, I know some who only stick with those, and that's tricky because you're talking to other designers, which is helpful, but it's you also need to be getting out there and going to the events that potential people that you would work for are at. And that means maybe going to things that you feel like the odd man out. And you might be the only designer that shows, or the only, you know, person in your line of work that goes to this other type of event. But I think you can look at that as an advantage, because you'll probably be the more interesting person of the group. sometimes when I get talking to people and they say, well, wait, why are you here? You know, if I've gone to conferences and things that, you know, they're not design conferences. They're conferences and industries that I'm interested in. And you do stand out, but that's almost like a conversation starter. Like,
totally.
Like, what brings you here?
Yep.
And to not be afraid of that, and just to hone in on those people that you want to help and that you want to meet.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. It really gives you an opportunity to stand out and showcase your expertise and say, I'm really knowledgeable in this area in your industry. So
exactly.
There's potential opportunity to be a resource together.
Yep.
So you've definitely touched a lot on that face-to-face or what I'm referring to as traditional networking here. I am curious, though, as far as digital networking, are you leveraging that by any means and working that, towards nurturing relationships, finding new connections, you know, leveraging technology? As you said, that's something that you're interested in.
It is. And definitely somewhere that I need to beef up my efforts, because I am most comfortable, and I do still feel like I make the best connections on a personal, you know, in-person level, but I recognize the lack of scalability there. There's only so many events you can go to. There's only so many people you can meet, and there's tremendous efficiency with digital networking. And for me, the challenge is how do you bridge that gap of the personable person that you are, how do you kind of let that shine and make those connections in the digital world? And that's, I will say that's a challenge that I'm working on.
Okay. Well, and there's definitely a lot of ways that you can do that. Highlighting your expertise and nurturing those relationships, no different than what you're doing right now by saying, hey, I'm going to this event. Would you be interested in coming with me? I mean, sharing that and maybe tagging a couple people on social media, but then just creating a greater awareness that, you know, you're letting the world know what you're doing and that being a valuable resource to them.
So. Absolutely. And I have definitely been doing more of that, especially on LinkedIn. It's been very useful that way.
Sure.
And just direct messaging with people. And it's, again, I'm all about the habit. Like, I need to find a way to to make it the habit. I do have that habit of, if I go to something in person, making sure that I kind of let those folks know that I really appreciate that event, and, you know, try to reconnect online post event. You know,
sure.
Definitely, I can call that a habit. But nice. I see others that are really just using it to best advantage, and I'm trying my best to sort of pick apart.
It all takes time, right? It all takes time.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So let's talk about, I like this question. It's always quite insightful. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Yes. Okay. 20-year-old self. Definitely to think more about the people sitting around me and what, how to keep in touch with them and how to follow up and nurture those relationships. I think when I was that age, I was all about the work and I was focused and I worked hard and I didn't, you know, I wish I had paid more attention to, and yes, I had friends at work, but I didn't think of it in the way of let's keep track of these people. And, you know, at that age, people are changing jobs so quickly and, you know, you kind of, they go, they're in and then they're out of your life. And you don't necessarily think strategically of like, I need to just keep tabs on this person and see where people go, because that's it can be a very useful thing mm-hmm. later.
No, I agree. It's extremely beneficial to nurture those relationships. And I question that too, if I would have done more nurturing earlier on in my career, how could that have impacted where things are today,
yes.
right?
And you see those people who somehow just knew that.
Yeah. Why didn't I get that message?
Why didn't anybody tell me? You know, and yeah, that you can't think too much about that. But yes, that is definitely something I would tell my 20-year-old self.
Cool. Any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
That if it is something that is intimidating to you, to just know that no one is, like, few people are totally comfortable with it. So it's okay. It's okay to just kind of to go out there. The more you do it, the more you'll get used to it. And I find that the people, if you kind of make the effort and you go and talk to people, they usually almost seem a little bit relieved, because they are in the same boat of like, here I am, I need to get out and I need to talk to people and I kind of don't want to. And you quickly find that you are not alone, and everybody's just kind of has the same goal in mind to connect and see how they can help and learn from other people. So to not be afraid to get out there and do it.
Yeah, I think really powerful advice that you're offering. It's definitely, it can be intimidating, but at the same time, a number of people are probably thinking the exact same thing. So the only way that you're going to grow is to just jump out there and do it. And then you're going to realize it wasn't as scary as you thought it was.
Yeah, it's actually fun.
It is. I agree. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah.
All right. So if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, Jennifer, what's the best way that they can reach you?
They can email me at jennifer@rashdesign.com.
Okay.
And rashdesign.com is also my website.
Cool.
And I do have a phone number.
Okay. Want to share?
Sure. 917-699-6762.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 6762. All right. We will include all that information in our show notes.
Awesome.
I'm going to try something different today. I'm just going to throw one last question. If there's any question that you have for me that you want to challenge me on,
oh my,
I'm willing to answer it.
Oh my gosh.
Anything.
Well, okay. With all the people that you have talked to, do you feel like there is a trend in networking that's happening today?
I think more people are paying closer attention to it. And they're being more intentional about the specific actions that they're doing, I guess I would observe, is that there's a plan in place instead of just doing it just to do it. I guess that's probably the biggest trend that I've identified based on all the individuals that I've interviewed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good question. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Jennifer Rash for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.